This is a very famous idea in Buddhism and also in Hinduism, yoga tradition. In Tibet, they call, you probably know, Kyamdo, which means to go for refuge or to go for shelter or to seek protection. In Sanskrit, it's Shalanam Gachami. I go for protection, I go for shelter. And we wanted to talk about the idea of protection. What does it mean? Especially during the exercise, during the asanas. How are you taking protection? What does protection mean? And what we put in your reading, it's in the notebook. I forget what you guys, 22. There's an ancient textbook about protection. And there's a monastic textbook from the greatest monastery in the world. It's the most, and we love it simply because it's there, too. Okay. Anyway, there's a classic presentation, and in the monastery we tend to debate it and overkill it, and then we kind of forget what it means. But protection means two things, if you think about it. Something is putting you into danger. There's a danger. Something wrong. Something that could hurt you. So protection implies there's a danger. And then secondly, you believe that someone can help you. You know, you go to someone because you believe they can help. So, seeking protection always involves two parts, right? Something is threatening you. There's a danger. And then you think something can help you and you go for protection. I always think of running to your mom. Well, the first protection you ever run to is your mom. Right? And you run to them because you believe they can stop your big brother from hitting you, right? And that's a kind of seeking protection. So that's the classic thing about seeking protection. There are four levels of protection to think about. Okay. Four levels of danger in our lives. Okay. First level is very normal stuff, like, I don't have enough money. That's a danger. My relationship's not working so well. That's a danger. I have some kind of sickness, disease in my body. That's a danger. Those are like first level dangers, normal dangers. Okay. Second level danger is death itself and what will happen to you after you die. Right? Where will you go after that? You know, people think, I don't have to worry about that right now, I still got some time to go. And I've had students in these classes who are not here anymore. You know, Kalamachi, right? In New York. And just suddenly died. And it'll happen, you know, it can happen. So, the second level of danger is death itself and what will happen afterwards, right? Where will you go afterwards? You need serious protection, not just protection against not getting dessert after dinner, tapas to make a concert. Okay? Third level protection is, they call it the condition of life itself. The condition of life itself. Meaning aging and death. You see, so really number two is where do you go after death? And number three is death itself and the process of aging. You know, it's like you spend 3 hours here doing this new series, you're 3 hours older. You're 3 hours closer to your death. And nobody gets younger in a yoga class. You know, unless you're doing it very well. Tantra care. But that's the condition of getting old and dying itself. Okay? The last kind of danger, the last kind of problem, is that everybody has that problem. You see what I mean? That's, we need to seek extraordinary protection, which means number four differs from the first three in that you break out of worrying about yourself and you're worried about everyone. You see what I mean? I must protect everyone. You see what I mean? Protection must go beyond my immediate financial problems or relationship problems or health problems. It must go beyond what will happen to you after you die. It must go beyond the fact of death and age. In the end, we must seek protection. For everyone, right? We must be concerned about everyone and seek protection. You kind of like It's not real protection unless you do it for everyone, right? Unless you're trying to protect everyone. You know, how would you feel if you got protected and then people in your class, you're teachers, right? Most of you are going to be teaching yoga. So now you have a new responsibility, very, very severe, serious responsibility. Can you protect the students in your class not from injury, not from discomfort, not from obesity, right? Can you protect them from death itself, you see? Can you take that responsibility for your students? We were in a yoga class in New York, Om Yoga, and Cindy Lee, very nice, the first chapter of Yoga Sutra, she offered the place, and we taught. And then she didn't come after the second night. Not like sort of dissed, you know? Like, I'm an important teacher, you know? And I said, well, you know, I asked Jennifer Brilliant, her assistant, I said, you know, where's Cindy? And she said, well, she had to go somewhere. I'm like, yeah, I know, where? And she said, she went to a funeral. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, who was it? She said, one of her students. And I said, oh, I'm very sorry, I found something else maybe. And then she said, she died during a yoga class in our study. She died in the middle of the yoga class. So, you and Nala, once you've heard this protection thing, we're going big time. The reason for these classes, like you should sit in your next yoga class wherever you teach, and you should look at those students and say, I don't want this one to die on me, you know, during my watch. You know what I mean? Like, I got plans for my students that exceed making them thin and strong. You know what I mean? I don't want someone to die who's in my care. You see, if there is any way to save a person on a higher level, I must do it for my students. You know what I mean? You can't. You should look at the students in the class and walk in and look them in the face. I don't want this one to die because I didn't teach them properly. You see what I mean? If there is some way to take people to a higher level, if there is a way to change the body into an angel's body, then you have a great responsibility to do it for them, to help them do it. You know? Now when they walk into your class, it's a whole different thing. You're not just trying to make them lose weight or look better or feel better. You know, you don't want to be a teacher on this level of yoga where you find out that the reason they didn't come back was they died. You see, like that. Or seriously ill. You can prevent those. Yoga can prevent those. Higher level of yoga can prevent those. That's what we're here for. That's protection. You want to give them protection. What we traditionally take protection, go to protection in, is called the three jewels. Okay? And you should know it's tri ratna in Sanskrit. Ratna means a jewel or a gift. Comes from a verb ra, which means to offer some a gift. And tri means three, so tri ratna, the three jewels. And it's a Buddhist idea, but like many Buddhist ideas, I think you can use it in your yoga classes, non-sectarian, or you know, it doesn't. You can present it as a concept that doesn't. None of these ideas has to be Buddhists, you know? I personally prefer, like in the business books we do, or Christian talks we do, we strip out all the references to Buddhism itself. It's the ideas that are important. It's not the images or the icons, you know? It's not what you call it. It's the ideas that can save people's lives, whether they're Christian or Hindu or it doesn't matter. So, in that context also, if you do the accreditation, whatever you call it, for this course, which I really beg you to do, and we don't give you the full manual until you do it, you're going to be required to take an additional course you can do it by correspondence, you can do it on the web for free. It's a course called the Bodhisattva Vows. Is it fifth course? Seventh course in the ACI series. This is a list of 60-something vows that a Buddhist takes if they commit to be a bodhisattva, to try to help other people. So we'd like you to study that course and to study the vows, even if you have no intention of following a Buddhist path, okay? You don't have to take the vows, you don't have to commit to the vows. They're just a cool code of life. They're just a very sweet kind of light. And I think they will be helpful for your students. So we ask you during this accreditation certification process that you take that course. If you're in New York, you can probably take it live with somebody in other cities, LA. You can take it live with people, done and done. We listened to it at your retreat on a Sunday. We listened to it quite a while we were doing mantras. It's easy. You just sit there and listen to some talks, fill out some ridiculous homework. And it's a very beautiful code of life, and it will be very helpful for your students. But again, that doesn't mean you have to in any way be interested or commit to a Buddhist class. So I'm going to talk about the three jewels, Kwencho's food and desire. The first one is called the enlightened being, the jewel of the enlightened being. And that just means someone who has followed the path sincerely and reached the ultimate goal, and they are infinitely able to help other people. When you do this sun meditation, you are sort of pretending to be that. You are like God, in a way. You are looking at the planet Earth. You are wishing well at everyone there. You are hoping you can take care of all of them. You are sending aid and comfort to every being on the planet. And at some point in your spiritual development, you will be that. You will be like that. You know, your mind is working on a level beyond words. Your body is made of life. You can stand at the same moment on a billion planets and serve every person there. In any form they need, you can be a dog, you can be an extra man, you can be their daughter, you can be their grandmother. Everybody. You have this power. So we believe in these beings, and we seek their help. We seek their protection. That's the called the jewel of the enlightened being. That's called the you. Then there's the apparent one. The apparent one is like pictures, images. We believe Sarasvati or Yamcha Manasvati is an enlightened being. We seek her assistance. She's the goddess of composition, music, poetry. And you can pray, and Sarasvati will come and help you. So the disaster is not protection. We're in Israel. We had a cool night in the rabbi. We went to Shabbat at my friend's house. And we had Shabbat with the whole big family, you know. And then the rabbi came specifically to the baby thing. And we had such a good time. And his first question was, what about images? Do you believe in images? You know, and because in the Jewish tradition, you can't make an image of God.
And
my friend had bought a Buddhist image, and the rabbi is his teacher, is his mom. So it's like, I can't get you to give you this Buddhist image, you know. And I'm like, well, we believe that they're useful because they remind you of your enlightenment, but they're not in the, there's nobody in the room, you know what I mean? It's nothing. Right? No, because sometimes people get out of hand and they start worshiping the wood or the stone. This is the image of the enlightened being. And so in a way, the Jewish tradition in the Ten Commandments, that's a very profound. It's beyond most people's minds that you shouldn't be attached to the corner. You know, maybe it looks Tibetan, maybe it looks Chinese, maybe it looks Indian, maybe it looks American. You shouldn't be attached to the format. It's the essence, you know. It's that they are an enlightened being. They're an angel. They can appear anywhere they want, and they do, right? So they're careful when they teach the three jewels. The enlightened being we're talking about in any of the in any particular painting or form or culture doesn't matter. It's what's behind it. It's the enlightened being himself. Okay? Second jewel. We call it the jewel of the Dharma. Okay? Dharma. If you ask somebody what does Dharma mean, they will say it's the teachings. It's the wisdom. It's the teachings. You may get some teaching will come here on Friday. I'm sure you wrote your invitation card. And if you didn't, do it tonight. And give it to 16. Yeah, I'm sorry. You must write an invitation. Okay? So, you know, he's going to come here. He will give a Dharma teaching. He will speak about the teacher of the first time. He will give a teaching from the teacher of the first time. Very profound teaching. So he will give you this teaching. That's the Dharma, right? We call that the apparent Dharma. It's not the real Dharma. Okay? That's just the Dharma in some format. What's the real Dharma? What's the Dharma that can protect me? Understanding the echo. Understanding that everything in your life comes, bounces off other people back to you. That's the real Dharma. You say, why? That one can protect. That one can protect. These two bad ones here are Dharma. They can't protect you if you can't remember. Okay? But if you have this idea in your mind, every problem I had this week was bouncing off other people after I did it to somebody else. You see what I mean? Every problem in my life is bouncing back from me. And I did it to somebody, it's bouncing back. Then your whole life changes. Then you protect. You have protection. Right? You have real protection. Life must get better. Because why? I don't like crap. I don't like crap. So how do you get rid of it? Stop bouncing off other people. Okay? That's protection. That's real protection. It goes all the way up to not dying. If you had as much care for other people as you have about your own life, you wouldn't die. Death would not come back to you. If you had as much concern about others as you have about yourself, you wouldn't die. See, if you're getting older, it means you're not keeping up. You're using up more karma than you're making. You're not being nice enough. Not enough. It's not enough. What's the sign? Look in the mirror every morning. If you look older, it's not enough. What you're doing is not enough. You have to do more. So that's real protection. Understanding that. How many things don't come from the head? Point out the things in this room don't come from you, you're bouncing off. That's emptiness. Okay? So when somebody says emptiness, you can say, yeah, it means all the stuff in this room that's not bouncing off someone that I give you. And that's not a nothing, zero. Don't do nothing like that. That's emptiness. It's not some black thing or thinking about nothing or nothing matters, do whatever you want. It's nothing. It means you must be kind of things. It's the opposite of that. You must be kind of. There's nothing that doesn't bounce off others' direction. Okay? That's emptiness. That's real protection. They say the Dharma is the ultimate protection. That understanding of Eckhart is the ultimate protection. That will save you. It will save you from anything. Last protection. The last jewel. They call Sangha, Sangha means jewel. Community. Sangha means to come together. It comes into the Greek as S-Y-N. God is to come. It comes into some Sanskrit as Pam, which means come, help, come. It's a calling word. She's got that wrong. So synagogue means to come together. It's the exact translation in the Greek of son. Okay? Synagogue is an exact translation of the word son. Son means coming together or the community. Who's the community? You are. The people who come together to struggle to save the world. You know, that's the community. The people who are really interested in a higher level of you. The people who want to protect other people in the world, help them, save them. Then you qualify as Sangha. Then you are community. You are Sangha. That's Sangha. In a traditional sense, Sangha might be considered people who have taken roles like that. But it means any spiritual group of people. We are Sangha. Today we are Sangha. We are the Sangha. That's only a parent Sangha. That's only a parent Sangha. People who have directly understood emptiness, people who have directly seen emptiness, are really ultimate Sangha. They're the people who can really help. They're the people who can really protect. And the purpose of yoga, one big purpose of yoga, open the channels. When the prana prana comes from the side channels into the center channel. If you can get to a point in your asana practice where all the energy is shoved into the middle channel, you will see into this direction. You will see into this direction. That's the whole purpose, original purpose of yoga. Get the prana into the sushumna, center channel. And if enough gets in, you see into this direction. Then you become a real protection center. Then you can really protect them. Within 7 lifetimes after that, you become an illuminated. So that's a big reason to do yoga. We're working from the outside to have this, to get this thing to happen in the inside.